Blog Talk Radio.
I'm one of your hosts, Devin, of Unknown Paranormal, and joining me is Jody Parks of the Paranormal Hot Squad. Hey, Jody.
Hi, Kevin. How are you?
I am good.
Yeah?
So, how was your holiday?
You know, it was really peaceful. I just spent time with my kids. That's what it was about. You know what I mean? I didn't get on Facebook and watch all the crazy stuff going on. I kind of just stayed out of it. And, yeah. How was yours?
Yeah. Mine was good. It was, I think I've made myself sick by riding four-wheelers in the butt-ass cold Texas weather this weekend.
That's right. We were texting. How was that?
Oh, it was fun. We thought we might have found, like, Bigfoot tracks out in the woods, but it ended up being just a really huge fucking black bear tracks, which that in itself...
Right.
black bears are kind of rare in this part of Texas. But we definitely, that's what we have. We hit up Ken Gerhardt, our buddy, this cryptozoologist, and he said, yep, it's a, because they were these big ass tracks, right? But they were one behind the other, and it wasn't like it looked like it was a four-legged animal, right? They were about 3 foot apart. And I was like, what in the hell is this? Well, then we started looking, and we started following the tracks, and sure enough, further down where it was muddy, you actually saw the four legs. So, and he said that, indeed, when a black bear runs, that they have a tendency to double step in their own footprint, where it makes it look like it's a two-legged creature if they're running.
Ah, they're smart.
So there you go. But, you know.
Well, hey, guess what? In a few weeks, I am going to be going hunting for Bigfoot as well.
Oh, you suck.
Yep, I'm pretty freaking excited. And it's with somebody that I think he's pretty well known. Like, I didn't know who he was, but I don't know all the, you know me, I don't know all the people on the field yet. You know, I'm still learning. But a friend of mine hooked it up and sent me a text and said, he's game, we'll go in a few weeks. And so I'm like, oh my God, I've been buying my clothes to get ready for like extreme weather because it's going to be cold.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I'm freaking excited.
Oh, you suck.
My brother's going to go with me.
Cool.
Yeah, and I'm getting a gun, too. I should have it in a few weeks.
Ah.
Yeah.
Big bad
daddy. I think I should have a freaking gun.
Don't.
If somebody's going down.
Yeah.
I'm going to catch Bigfoot with my bare hands, okay?
Right. Well, yeah.
That'd be hilarious. Never happened.
Hopefully, I'm keeping my fingers crossed. I got to get back with the lady. I'm not really going to go into detail because I don't want to talk about it unless it actually goes through.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you already know what I'm talking about. Now, if this happens, it'll be a huge announcement, and it'll be a great thing for the paranormal community and field, and yeah, it'll be a great opportunity for us as well. And no, it's not a TV show, so don't even think that. We're not talking entertainment.
No.
But more
something good,
Oh yeah, it's more for the serious paranormal investigator that really likes researching and doing experiments and whatnot. So if this comes about, then it's an opportunity for all of us. So, still working on that. I'm going to keep my fingers crossed that goes down.
Yeah, I hope it works out.
Heck yeah. And I got 3 new members. Well, possible new members. I can't say they're members yet because I got 3 guys that want to join our group. And so we're going to take them out. Maybe a cemetery or two, and let them investigate in front of us, and let them show us what they know, and then we're going to put them on a probationary period, and start going on investigations with us, and if they fit in, not only as a paranormal investigator, but we're a family. I mean, everybody in my group. Next July will be 3 years, and everybody that's on the team, pretty much except for maybe 1 or 2, have been together all 3 years. So we're a tight-knit group. And so we're like a big family. So I explained that to those folks and told them, you know, you got to be able to fit in as a friend and as a family member because we've got each other's back.
Yeah, you never have any problems. I mean, it's like everybody else is just backstabbing and, like, just, I mean, it's like out of freaking control. You know what I'm saying? It is out of freaking control.
I've had a few run-ins. I mean,
I know you have.
I definitely had a run-in with another team a couple years ago, and it was during the holidays, and that was even worse. But as far as my team, yeah, we've had a few little disagreements amongst members, but I was gracious enough to – I'm the type of person, I listen to both sides, and I come to a conclusion of a way to solve the issue where both parties are not butthurt, and we move forward from that. So I'm kind of like the father of the group, so I have to take care of my children. But, yeah, I mean, everybody – especially a group like us that's been around each other this long, you know, there's going to be a point where people get on each other's nerves. But I've been able to resolve them, and we've moved forward. So all it does is make us stronger once we get through those issues. But we don't bash each other on the internet and talk smack back and forth. We kind of stay out of it. If you've ever noticed us, we kind of stay out of all the drama. As much as possible, and before Riley and Steven call in here in a few minutes, you know, that's the thing I was telling you before we got on the air was, that this weekend I was noticing most, and I don't know if I'm the only one, but I was noticing because the majority of the friends on Facebook, their news feeds were all negative, right? And it was all parent drama. There was so much drama going on. And it wasn't just, like, certain issues. I know one, you know, particular issue, which I'm not going to talk about or get into detail about. People know what I'm talking about. It was a big old ordeal, right? And people were getting hurt, and people were getting backstabbed, and accusations, and all that kind of crap. And I never
wanted... Well, you know, I was there. I was in that place earlier this year.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I know what it feels like to be in that position where it's just like being slaughtered out online. You're just like, you're sick. You're sick for days, and, you know, this stuff is, it's bullying. And it's harassment, and, you know, it's Facebook has become a very evil place. Like, I didn't know what evil was until Paranormal Challenge, and people found out who I was, and then I went to Scarefest, and that increased. And then, you know, it was like the crazies fucking came out of every corner, and, you know, pointing fingers. You know what I mean? Calling names, being mean, harassing me. And, you know, in a lot of ways I lashed out like, oh, well, you know, I'm just going to fuck with them back. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's just, it's all crazy stuff. And I swear to God, like, I think that one of these days there's going to be one person that is going to commit suicide because they're, you know, not a strong person or something maybe, like, really devastating to be going on in their life. And then to be humiliated, like, publicly, they could end up, like, taking their life. And I really think that the bullying, like, is just, it's gone way too far.
Well, you know, that's interesting you bring that up because I had a lady contact me on Unknown Paranormal Radio Facebook page. Because not only do I do this show, but I have my show on Sundays. And she is part of an organization that is, I can't even remember the name of it, but it has to do with paranormal groups and bullying. And it's basically a group that is, you know, that's against all the paradrama, the bullying, the hurtful things that some of these teams do to one another. And she wants to be a guest on my show, so I'm really going to try to get her on the show. Might even see if she'll come on this show and talk about that, because That's a major issue, and it affects a lot of us. And it, and what people don't realize, it's so hurtful. It affects our lives, our home lives.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's something
I mean, what
that,
is our focus? You know, it's like everybody wants to, like, okay, me, for instance, I've been bullied so much, Kevin. You know, like, I haven't been taken serious. And so it pisses me off. And so I'll be like, you know what? I'm going to, you know, I model. And I make money modeling. Why can't I model? You know what I mean? Just because I'm a paranormal investigator and I have modeled for years, they're two different worlds. You know what I mean? And so, you know, just to piss people off, I'll go and drop bombs. I call them my bomb. I'll go drop a bomb, like, every once in a while. I'm just like, oh, fuck you. You know what I mean? Like, stop fucking with me. Leave me alone. And you know what? I'll give you something to talk about. You can talk about this. Blow it up. Call me a skank bag, this and that. And, you know, I'll just sit here and take it. You know what I'm saying? Like, get it out. But in the big scheme of things, like, what the hell are we really doing here? You know? I mean, are we trying to find answers, you know, and it's like there. I think there are certain people who are, and you know, the more that you try to, the more shit you're gonna get. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, definitely. And like I said earlier, I had to turn Facebook off because of all the negativity out there. And I know a lot of the folks that were posting, it wasn't that they were trying to be negative. There was people that were harassing them and causing them to be upset. And, you know, it's one of those things now that I've realized, being in the field for several years now, that I have to pick and choose who I am friends with in the paranormal community very wisely. There has to be a lot of trust involved with whoever I'm friends with, because I don't want that particular person to turn on me at some point because they're jealous of something that we have done and, you know, backstab me. So, you know, I'm very
crazy. So many people are continuously being backstabbed, and it's just got awful. And I know what it feels like to be in that place. I've had so many people backstab me, and they feel like, you know, some feel that I have backstabbed them. You know what I mean? And I've heard, like, I heard this weekend that people feel that I will cut you off in 2 seconds flat. And it's like, well, yeah, I will. And the reason being is because I have to protect myself. And if that makes me cold to protect my house or my future, or, you know, but here's the thing, like, when I cut people off, it's for a goddamn good reason. Maybe I've taken like 4 or 5 strikes from that person, and it was just time, because that person was a negative being in my life. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they had hurt me and I had to stop it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Right. And
you know, but And I think that, you know, that's what people need to do. They need to take the high road and just say, okay, I'm done. You know what I'm saying? I'm done with the friendship. When they feel that they're done, they don't need to make a spectacle of it. You know?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. And, well, you know, I'm very blessed at what we're doing. Like I said, new things are going on for my team, possibly some new members. I will say this, once it gets off the ground, we also have, we're doing something that has never been done in the paranormal. Nowhere in the United States is this being done. It's being done at a very large level when it comes to, like, National Paranormal Society, which we belong to as well. But we're going to do it on a more smaller scale, and what we're doing is, several members of my team, along with a couple other folks, are starting what they call a service group. It's a paranormal service group, and basically it's a resource for a team if they're dealing with a case and they need some extra help, as far as, say, they want some second opinions on the case, They want mm-hmm. somebody to listen to their EVP. If they need a demonologist or a priest or whatever the case may be, they can call this team, and this team will assist them in any way they can. They're not going to take over the paranormal team's case or any of that. They're just there as help. I think that is a great idea.
Yeah,
good
for you guys.
They're not there to investigate. They're not there to take the funding away from that team. They're strictly a service.
No, I think it's a great idea because you know what? I have so many people inboxing me asking questions, and it's like I answer them best I can. But if people just had like a main place that they could go to, you know, because here's the thing, we all don't know everything.
No.
You know. And you need people to reach out to.
Oh, yeah.
I reach out to people all the time about the paranormal, you know what I mean? And I go to certain people for certain things, you know what I mean? Like questions, and you have to have their, like a mentor directory.
Yeah.
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, and one thing that, you know, when it does get off the ground, I got to teach the paranormal community, especially my friends, that my team is not breaking up. This is not another paranormal team coming that's breaking off from my team. These people that are involved are still members of Unknown Paranormal. This is just a secondary thing that we're going to do that some of my team members, they came up with this idea. It's going to be called ART, Afterlife Research Team. And like I said, they're not a paranormal group. They're a service group for other teams. In fact, several of them have already been helping a paranormal team over in Louisiana with some really bad residential cases. And me and some of the other people, me being on the radio all the time, I've made a lot of good connections in the field with demonologists and priests and folks that are into the scientific side of the paranormal. So we got a big Rolodex of folks that we can call, and we're just going to be there to help. That's the bottom line. So look forward to that kicking off really, really big time in 2013. And I believe our guests are on the line. This is going to be Stephen and Riley Black of Black Cross Paranormal. I know Riley is on Dead Air Radio on Fridays and with Club Para. So we're going to get them on and chat with them. You guys there?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
How's it going?
Hi.
Yep.
Hey,
welcome,
Jody.
Welcome.
What's up, my bitches?
What's up?
So, how was you guys' holiday?
Very uneventful.
Quiet.
We like
I know,
like that.
Didn't it seem like a long weekend? Or a long 4 or 5 days, whatever it was? Seemed forever.
We spent a lot of time in the gym, actually.
Well, and I saw you guys got your Christmas tree up, and it looks absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
Yes, Riley did a fantastic job.
Hey, Stephen and Ryan helped out, though, with, you know, everything. So can't take all the credit for that, but, you know, we do good. We pull together as a family.
Got to.
Without a doubt.
Yeah,
without
so. Yeah, so tell us about who you are real quick so everybody kind of gets a little idea.
Oh, everybody knows who we are. No.
You don't know who we are? No.
You don't know who we are? Well, let me clue you
in. Are we on the right channel? No.
We are Black Cross Paranormal. We are located in North Providence, Rhode Island. We are a member of 2.5. Which is me, Stephen, and Ryan. Ryan being only 13 years old. We have been together since 2008, and going strong ever since.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And you guys are EVP specialists. That's what you guys like specialize in, That's what you love,
yes.
Right?
Yes, because I am half blind and I can't see anything in the dark, so I rely on all my audio and hearing to get me to place to place to place.
And I'm very technical, so I do a lot on the computer systems with, you know, the different programs and cleaning up, you know, doing noise reduction and stuff like that. So.
Now, do you guys use any, like, special equipment for your EVPs?
Oh, yeah. We have, like, over a dozen different software programs for audio.
Well, as far as software goes, we use a lot of different things. Not one single program.
About,
like,
I'm talking about equipment, like, on-site. Like, you know, I've seen some crazy stuff out there where people are trying to capture their EVPs with, like, I just have a digital recorder. I have this little one that I love, and if anybody tries to take it, like, you're dead. If I have a gun, I'm shooting you. Don't touch that
thing.
Well,
here's the thing. When we first started doing the whole EVP capture, you know, I started using the regular old-fashioned style tape recording.
Analog.
Yeah.
Analog tape.
Kids don't know what that is these days. That was, you know,
right.
Set before everything became, you know, what it is now. So we used that. We used a real simple, cheap Walmart $20 digital recorder in the very, very beginning of this. Once we started mastering that, we went ahead and bought a few digital recorders and real-time recorders that I use. And you'll see me in locations walking around with these big 70-style headsets on. And for me, that helps out a lot.
And roller skates?
Oh, yeah. But, well, the reason why I wear the big headsets is because it covers my entire ear. So if there's any outside noise, you really don't get the interference. You know what I mean? It keeps you all,
yeah.
Which I like
kind
even
of
a lot. You'll see me with these big headsets on at the time.
In addition to that, we're also using the point of view video glasses, which also do audio.
You guys were telling me about that.
Yeah, so we get audio from that as well. So we use a few different things on location.
Very cool. Kevin, did you upload some of their EVPs and stuff?
Yeah, I got them uploaded to play.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we brought some to the table. We figured you guys might, you know, want to take a listen to a few of them. I don't know which ones he sent you, only because I haven't been paying much attention.
I don't believe that.
Hey, you know, I got like 10 irons in the fire and one hand, you know, messing around with the whole thing. So I got no time to pay attention to anything that's going on. Unless it's my name indirectly or Steven's name, you know, I don't really care.
There you go.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So, drama-free household, y'all. Drama-free household.
Rise above it.
Rise above the bullshit. I'm making T-shirts, and I'm selling them. They're going to say, rise above the bullshit.
Yeah. You have to. You have to.
Without a doubt.
Even though I will say there are days when I just go out and I'm like, you know what, F you, come and get it. Like, I'm done. You know what I mean? Like, I want them to know that they're pissing me off. You know what
I mean?
Well,
you know,
like,
what?
Back off,
Jody,
Jack.
Then you need to get one of the T-shirts that say Rise Above the Bullshit, and you wear it on that day that you're feeling that funky. And I can guarantee you look in the mirror.
Now, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make my stalkers shirts that say Paris Stalker. I'm going to sign them and send them to them. You know?
Excellent.
And be like, have fun, keep it up, you know what I mean? Like, screw them. I will keep putting my middle finger up and keep pointing it their way.
You have a lot of things to do.
I do,
yeah,
and you know what? That's why I said every once in a while, I have to go out. Like, you know what? There are times when I feel like somebody needs to hold an event, put together a boxing ring. They need to pull everybody that hates everybody together. Let's have a charity event and beat the shit out of each other. Like, no more little hiding behind the computer. I will take people on. Like, let's throw it down. You know what I mean? I'm okay with that.
You should. You should come.
Page. You
should
come to page pages.
I always
wait, what?
You should come. You should come to the event that Stephen and Riley and my team are coming to in March, the Para-Unity Conference, because Becca was working on a paintball event where we can take our aggravation out on each other with paintball guns.
That is awesome. Well, we could always... Hey, at that conference, just so you know, I get bored real easily, and I get
uh-oh.
Creative. So, you know, pranking people.
You watch out for a spitball to the head.
Well,
do they allow spitball guns at those things?
I don't know, man, but I had security swarming all over my ass in New Hampshire thinking I had a spitball gun. I was taking out James Neto and Joe Andre with it. I'm like, yo, and when I went to go take their picture, man, they were on me like white on rice. I was like, damn, I'm just trying to take the picture. My girlfriend comes out of the bathroom and comes back to her table, and she asks Stephen, why is all the security around? You know, what happened? Did we get a bomb threat? And Stephen's like, no, Riley's just talking over there with Joe Andre. I like the both of them. I don't understand why security came running.
Oh, it's because you were talking about the spitball gun. So the whole time they thought she had a spitball gun, and she didn't.
I told that big hoss-looking mofo if I had a spitball gun, he would have been the first to feel it because I would have tagged his ass behind his ear, seriously.
We have David in the chat room, and he wanted to know what you guys' favorite place to investigate is.
Oh. Favorite place
David.
To investigate. David who? Wait, I'm
David.
Sorry.
You know David.
David Truth Seeker, Para.
David Childers. Childers. I can't say his last name to save my ass, so I always make light of it. But it's David. David Childers.
Childers.
Yeah, Childers.
She's drinking some cold spot.
I am, man. After I heard you guys go on your rant about the paradrama, I had to pour myself a Roma coat. Oh my gosh,
my favorite place is Slater Mill because it's 3 miles away from our house. It is like our playground.
Oh my god, that place is so active. It's
we
like
all
Disney.
Have a playground.
Yeah, it's so close and convenient. And like all our friends go over there, and it's like, you know, I mean, Carl Johnson's there all the time. We go visit him, and it's like our home away from home. We love that place.
And North Burial Grounds, we love that place. And the Payne House, that's in Coventry, that's a fun place to go. It's like a maze. So I got to admit, I think the people that were living during the 1700s were very short because I keep knocking. I'm 6 feet tall, so when I go into a location with a roof that's like really, like a ceiling that's really dropped down low, I have to duck. Which means the furniture is dropped down low. So I'm banging my shins in the night everywhere I go. So by the time I'm done, I look. Now I'm not going to say what my knees look like. You get
she
it.
Looks like she's a head nurse.
I'm sorry. Anyway, back to paranormal.
Okay, Kevin, can we play some of their EVPs? I want to hear some of them.
Yeah, bring them on out. Which ones are you going to play? And I can tell you where I was.
I know now.
I think we lost
Kevin.
Kevin's
still with us?
No, I'm here. I was screening the call.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah. We're going to see this gentleman's name is Jim, and he wanted to comment on something he said, so we'll see.
Okay.
Jim.
Okay, Jim. Jim. Hi, Jim.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi,
how are you?
Jim, how are you?
I'm fantastic. No, I heard you talking about you know, the wrestling rink and, you know, getting people in. And I think that's just a great idea, you know. And I'm
I watched it.
I'm a big fan of yours, Jody. I watched you on the Howard Stern show. You know, I think you're great. I love you. I think you just keep pushing on, girl.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome.
Okay.
But yeah,
oh,
I just wanted to comment on that. I love your show.
I think this is a joke of who's really calling in. No,
not at all. Hello?
Are you being bad?
Am I being bad? Not at all.
Yeah. All right,
not at all.
Not
at all. My last name is...
All right. Goodbye, Jim.
Bye. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank
bye-bye.
God.
That was very nice.
Joey, that was so okay. No, that was somebody messing with me. A friend of mine. Oh, my God. Oh. Okay.
Oh, Lois. Well,
I think the rum pokes are flowing on that end, too.
No, there's somebody messing with me that can't come out and talk to me yet. We'll go there. But they will come out eventually.
Come out, wherever you are.
In that closet door.
They will.
Oh, Lord.
Hey, you knew what you were getting when you hired the blacks to come on your radio show. I mean.
Wait, what?
What?
I said, y'all knew what you were getting when you asked those blacks to come on your radio show.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we have some good purposes of why you're here, which we'll get to later. And but no, I want to hear one of your EVPs. So
which one are you going to play?
EVP.
Let's see here. Let me get to them here real quick. How about? I got to scroll back up. Here we go. The first one that I have. It's Did You Push Riley?
Oh, yeah.
We were at North Burial Grounds. It was me, Stephen, and Ryan. And where we entered was at the side of the cemetery. Now, this cemetery, it has 35,000 people buried on it, on 110 acres, starting in the late 1600s and ending to this day. So it's still ongoing, actually. People getting buried in there all the time, and it keeps growing and growing. It's pretty big. Anyhow, we decided that we were going to do some EVP sessions, catch some audio, train Ryan a little bit more. And when we enter, it's a huge slate staircase that goes down into a horseshoe-shaped staircase that you could either go into the cemetery using the left or right entrance. I went ahead of the guys, and I was about four steps away from the bottom where I got shoved in a really violent manner to the point where I flew off the stairs and hit the ground really hard. I thought I was really hurt bad. I mean, I was bleeding from both knees. It was a pretty bloody mess. I thought I tore tendons and all other shit. So I'm laying on the ground there, and Steve comes running down, and he's like, oh, my God, are you okay? And I said, no, somebody shoved me. I was pretty pissed because I just got there, and I didn't even get to do anything, and they're messing with me. So I told Steve somebody pushed me. He quickly turned on the recorder, and this is what he captured.
Okay, we're going to play it.
Did you push Riley?
Just play it one
day.
Yeah, I can hear it too.
Did you push Riley?
Yeah.
So
yeah, so needless to say, you know, it was, it really shook me up because I've been slapped, you know, in the mouth. I've been pinched. I've been grabbed. I've been like just pushed in the shoulder a little, like nudged. But I've never been violently like shoved in such a way where it like literally knocked me on my ass. Never.
I don't know why everything happens to her. I never get pushed. I never get touched. Nothing ever happens to me. I don't know.
You had a rock thrown at you
Steven.
Before.
Oh, yes, that's true. I did. I had a rock thrown at me once.
Steven, I never get messed with. Never.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't know. I think some people just, I don't know. Does it come down to protection? Like a belief in God or, you know what I mean? Like God's kind of protecting that person a little bit more. And, or like is another person like just made for the experience more for others? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
you know,
I know,
maybe Riley's open a little bit more up to that, to the experience, whereas, like, maybe you and I are a little bit more guarded, like, you know, you can't do that. You know what I mean? And they know that. You know what I'm saying?
I do believe that. I do believe that, too. I know for a fact Riley is so open when we go to these places. And me, I am the protector. That's who I am.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's why they don't fuck with me.
And
yeah,
in a
like
way, I am, too. And in a way, Kevin is as well. We're, you know.
I feel like
literally everyone on my team always gets hurt. Always. Crazy
well,
stuff,
one of the reasons why I get messed with a lot, you know, being empathic really does not help matters because this is how I tend to tell people when you're an empath, when you're sensitive, and you go into these locations, once the spirits that are in these locations know who you are and know that you can hear them or, you know, for other people, you can see them and they know your name and you know their name, all bets are off. There is no shield no more. There is no guarded nothing. You are wide open for whatever comes your way. So a lot of times I do get physically ill when I go into location, but it only lasts for a few minutes and then I'm fine. It's like something
right.
stole your breath and you're trying to catch your breath. And sometimes, you know, when you stand up too quickly and you get that dizzy feeling, that's what happens a lot of times with me. So I got to,
you
know.
Do
you
ever get, like, headaches?
Holding your breath?
Yeah, that's when that happens.
You get headaches too?
Not headaches so much. I feel like I was on the teacup ride at Disneyland and rode it for about 100 times.
After a bong rip.
After a bong rip, Jerry.
Hells yeah.
So now you know what it feels like when a spirit attaches to your ass.
You know, you and I are really bad with that one Weed Palace page.
That is funny.
Oh, my God. I love the one where it's, what's it say? Buzz Lightyear and Woody.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He's got his hand up in the air, and he's like, weed and gay marriage everywhere. And Woody's got that face like, oh.
I know. I love posting all my marijuana pictures. And I don't care who knows
I know.
It. And who likes it and who don't like it. Don't need to follow my page. Get off my page.
That's right. That's right. Be yourself, you know what I mean?
Of old granddad or purple kush or blueberry sausages, I will.
Sorry, Kevin. We're talking about marijuana.
In a lot of states, you know, it's legalized, and I'm hoping that it becomes legalized in all 50 states, and, you know, there'll be a lot less drama. Trust me.
Yeah, people people will chill out and eat Funyuns and Reese's Pieces.
You know, if everybody would just smoke a joint together, it would be like the most peaceful thing in the world.
Yeah.
Yep.
Man.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, do you have more EVPs? I want to hear more.
Okay. The next one is I Know You're Here.
This
was Slater Mill.
Yeah.
Okay, this
Ryan,
is stomping ground.
Our son Ryan and I were in the Slater Mill. Actually, there's three parts. There's the Slater Mill, there's the Wilkinson Mill, and then there's the Sylvanus Brown House. It's all on the same property in a triangle. We were in the mill area where a lot of children have died inside this mill. So we thought bringing Ryan into the mill with me would change up the dynamics of things.
It did, actually.
Yeah, it did. We were investigating with Joe Chin from GHI.
Yeah.
And it felt like I walked in, I turned around because I heard a child scream. And I felt like I walked right into a wall. And I put my hand up to catch myself from walking into a wall. And there was
mm-hmm.
nothing there. It was wide open space.
Wow.
There was no wall, no nothing, but it felt like there was a wall right there.
And this is what we captured
on the audio.
Okay.
I know you're here.
Whoa, what was that?
I know you're here.
It says it really fast. I know you're here.
And that's that EVP.
I know you're here.
Oh yeah.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah, that's
pretty.
No cleanup. A lot of times we have to do noise reduction and stuff like that.
Right.
That has nothing done to it. That's absolutely right off the recorder.
That sounded like so robotic, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, we do, because when he heard that, when Steven first heard that, after I came home and played it for him, he's like, holy crap.
My jaw dropped. I was like, oh, my God, you need to listen to this.
Wow.
Yeah, and there's no cleanup or anything done on that. No enhanced audio. That's right off the recorder.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so it's probably one of the best pieces we've gotten. One of the best.
Do you use white noise or a ghost box during your investigation?
Not at all.
We have, but we don't.
We don't anymore, yeah.
We don't anymore.
But you would with mine, right?
Do you have the SB7?
I just have that the Radio Shack, the old one. Yeah, the Hack Shack. They don't make them anymore, I don't believe.
Yeah, with those things you gotta watch because it does scan both AM and FM channels, all of channels,
right.
Every channel. You could pick up everything.
Right, but I'm kind of capturing things that won't be said on radio, like blowjob.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. I mean, I'm not saying that it doesn't work,
but
I'm
I know what you're saying. I've picked up
a lot of times when words come across one of those things, it could start. Like, say you're in an investigation where, you know, you're asking questions and you use the spirit box or ghost box or Frank's box or whoever box you're using at the time. you get the words that fit into play during your questioning time. So during the words that come across can make sense at the point in time where you ask these questions. Do you know what I mean? So you got to be really careful that you know what you're catching, and you're not just catching something that came off an AM, FM radio.
Yeah, and we have different spirit boxes before. You know, we've gotten one where I got called a bastard in a heavy, like, New England accent.
Oh, yeah, it's like, you bastard.
Yeah, and you know that the radio is not going to say that. You know what I mean? So you know you just captured something.
Yeah,
you know?
And it was during communication. We were doing a little bit of, you know, I don't know. I think Riley had said something about she was from the South, and you know, she was.
Yeah, never do that in a New England cemetery that overpowers you by 35,000 and say you're a Confederate in a Yankee cemetery.
Well, that was in front of the military bunker.
Boy, I didn't come over good.
It was a military keeper, actually, that's on the grounds. And
they did not like that.
It came across.
You know, we were kind of doing that at Rose Hall when I got Skin You Alive. We were playing the North and South singing.
Yep.
That dude didn't like that very much.
Yeah.
No, they don't. They don't.
No, they don't.
Inside the keeper, after we got that bastard on the spirit box, we heard what sounded to be like a cinder block or something falling inside the building.
Wow.
Which was crazy. It was like 2 in the morning. Nobody's there, you know, and it was knocked over inside the place.
Now, Riley, I know that you practice Wicca, correct?
Yep. Yep.
Do you use any of, like, your heritage or, you know, that during investigations or anything like that?
I do.
You know.
I do.
Yeah?
Oh, that
how
means
so?
Do I? Yeah, because they go both hand in hand. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
You can't be Wiccan without praying to a spirit of some form or another.
Right.
When I go into an investigation, I have these 4 huge crystal clusters that I stuff in my pockets because quartz crystals amplifies energy that's all around you, amplifies your energy. So if your energy is amplified, you're going to know that it's like walking in the middle of a dark-ass room and flipping on a light switch. Whatever has been living in that darkness is going to come towards that light to see what's going on. So
you're inviting.
Oh, yeah.
It's closer to you.
Yeah. And now I'm not saying don't try this at home, kids, because this ain't something for the light at heart. Because it takes
right.
me about 3 days to recover from one investigation because I feel like I've been dragged through the mud, drained
yeah.
like you wouldn't believe.
We actually charge the crystals during the full moon cycle as well.
Okay. So I'll be charging my crystals tomorrow night during the full moon / eclipse that's going to be going on.
So do you put them outside or in a window?
Yeah.
How do you do it?
No, I'll set them outside in the moonlight and I'll let the moon charge them.
That's very cool.
And then by
that.
The time, you could actually feel, if you hold it long enough, after you charge them, you could feel it slightly have a buzz feeling going through your hand, like a zinging sensation.
So it's not that rum coke?
No, not the rum coke. Holy goose. I don't ever drink before an investigation. I am drinking now because I can't, but I never drink before an investigation, just so everybody knows it.
Yeah.
Or
you never drink, Riley. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
This is true.
That is true. People do get the misconception that I am a party girl. Just because I post a lot of party stuff, pictures and whatnot, does not mean that, you know, I am constantly an alcoholic. I drink maybe once every 2 weeks. And I don't ever really go anywhere. Like once every 6 months, you'll see me in a bar. But I usually just, like, have some friends over, some other Wiccans. They come over, and we have, like, a female margarita jello shot. Good time.
That's cool.
Hell yeah. All I
Hell
say
yeah,
is
you need girl time and drink time.
That's right. I thought if you're going to get your freak on, do it behind closed doors.
You know, I was thinking to myself, I never go out. I am like the lamest person in the world. I have no social life whatsoever. And I was messaging with this guy that I have been partying with for years, but I haven't partied with him in a really long time. And him and I go headbanging, and he's my blocker. He's one of my blocker. This other guy comes, and he gets so fucking wasted, he's backwards. I have said F-bombs a lot tonight. I apologize. Anyways, he's so wasted, he's like backwards. Like his Yeah, I don't know how to describe it. It's like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, then he's at 3 o'clock, and you're like, you can't drive, dude. We got to go to Denny's. But I call him my blockers, and we go and listen to bands, but I got to get my ass out, and I need to go and bang my head in with my blockers. I need to.
Right.
It's been too long.
I see a question in the chat.
Mr. Childress wants to know, how do we feel about the ovulate? That's a good question.
I know how I feel.
I don't use one. So.
I've messed around with an ovulate before, and I mean, they're fun, but I tend not to take them seriously.
No, you can't.
I think, you know, there's a lot of cool technology and gadgets and all kinds of stuff, but I think what people forget is the most...
Whoopsie,
oh.
We lost them. They'll be back. Me personally, I think they're too loud. I can't understand them when they do talk.
Well, that's
no,
because
they just annoy me.
Buddy, I bought the screen that goes to mine, so I can actually see the word that it's trying to say. And a lot of times when it says something, what you hear is different from what's coming up on the screen because its pronunciation's not very good. But and I'll wait till they get back on because I got something interesting with my ovulus that happened one time. Because I'm kind of on the fence, too. They're about, Bill Chappell said, they're about 30% accurate, right? There have been times, and I think they're back. Hey.
Hey, hello.
There have been times when...
Hi. Sorry.
All right, finish your sentence, and then they can go back to talking. What were
okay.
you saying?
Well, what I was going to say was I have one, and I never chalk anything up that it does as evidence, you know. But I like to see when it's on and when it's not, because it's about a 30% chance that it might say something that correlates with the history. But being that said, we did an experiment one time in a cemetery where – we had the SB7 running, and we had the ovulus running. We never run them at the same time before. And we asked the spirits that we were talking, you know, that were out there, if they could give, and we said, give us directions, either forward, backwards, left, or right, and lead us, whoever's talking to us that's in the cemetery, lead us to your headstone. And the ovulus and the SB7 ended up almost correlating each other. They were talking back and forth, and it actually led us through the cemetery to a headstone, and the ovulus actually said the name, the first name of the person's headstone. So there you go. That's one instance where it actually did something right, but there's still a lot of ifs in it. So like I said, I just kind of use it as entertainment while we're investigating, basically. I never use it as evidence.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, though, that they call
it
guided.
Yeah, it was almost like they were talking to each other. It was like the ovulus would say something, and then the SB7 would either repeat it or would respond. So it was the weirdest experience ever because we had never run both those type of communication devices at the same time. And, you know, the ovulus is hard to understand. Well, we had bought the screen attachment to the ovulus X, and so we could actually see the word that it was actually wanting, you know, because sometimes what it says and then the word that comes up on the screen are different because the way the voice is, it's hard for it to pronounce some of the words. But that was something cool.
We had the opportunity to actually run two simultaneously. And I was running one, and Pete Stagman from Power Hunter was running one. And we were over at North Burial Grounds together. And they both came up with the same word. and that was Demon.
Mhm.
So
yeah.
That was kind of interesting.
I get that a lot.
Yeah, Jody, we were actually at Yorktown Memorial Hospital here in Texas, and after the other team we were with decided that they wanted to provoke the evil spirit that was there, and it decided to make a few people sick, and, you know, the energy kind of shifted. You could really feel the darkness and the heaviness in the room we were in. The obelisk would not shut up. It kept saying, burn, demon, dark, you know, every word that can associate with that kind of an entity, evil. It was just one after another. It wouldn't really take too much of a pause. It was like maybe 1 second or two and then another word. And I was just like, holy crap, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then we started to say a prayer, and obviously just kept on going. So.
Yeah, our spirit box would do that sometimes. It would just wouldn't shut up, and it's like finally just shut it off.
I think when it gets to that point, a lot of the times you need to change your batteries, because the battery is what makes it do that. When your batteries are getting low, your ovulus, your spirit box, it'll start to sputter and start saying random shit like crazy, super fast, not like there is no pause in between. And that's when you know that you need to refresh your batteries.
Yeah, it's like it won't shut up.
Yeah. Yeah, and
so we have used them, like yourself, though we don't use them as evidence. We've used them for fun. We've messed around with them, but
I think I actually left one in a graveyard, didn't I?
Yeah, you left a spirit box somewhere.
Yeah, so I'm grounded from buying any more new equipment until I can learn to put it all back in the box.
Well, sometimes we need to be grounded. You know what I mean? Got to learn your lesson.
That's right.
Yeah.
You were big girls.
Well, you know, I had two hands carrying 10 things, and obviously something got left behind. So that's why
I've done it.
The POV glasses, I do, because you just put those babies on like a pair of uglies and press the record button. And it does everything for you, and it keeps your hands free to hold a recorder or whatever. Do you know what I mean? You don't even need to hold a recorder because it does that too.
Yeah, I mean, we did the UCS Salem, and I used two things. I put the glasses on and powered them on with the attached IR lighting, and I just held a digital voice recorder, and just those two things all night, 6 hours straight. So simple.
Now, when y'all do EVPs, do y'all do when y'all get to a location, do you just turn one on and let it run all night, or do you do short burst sessions? What do y'all do?
What I do is I turn on the EVP recorder the moment we step on the location.
Yeah.
I got one that's running at all times. Whether we're talking, we're not talking, we got people talking, it doesn't matter. And that one is staying on at all times. And then we do ones that are burst sessions.
Well, we'll do quiet time.
Yeah.
Where we'll sit and we'll ask very specific questions, and we'll be quiet in between, depending on the location.
Mm-hmm.
Like at USS Salem, for instance, we went in the sick bay there where they had all the beds and everything. And, and we just sat and we each took turns asking questions and being quiet in between. So, we do both.
Yeah. Yeah. One thing that I've noticed, I'm a fan of both, because at one location, while we were setting up, we ended up getting 56 EVPs of the same gentleman talking to us at home base while we were setting the DVR up. And that's one thing I try to tell more amateur type paranormal groups is
when you step on a property, your energy is a new, if you've never been there before, it's a new energy for those spirits. And just like any, you know, just these were human spirits at one point. They're going to come up and be curious of who is there. And that's where you might get some of your EVPs. And, you know, like you guys, we do something because I have a bigger team. So I might have four small teams in different parts of the building. And before we rotate before we go on break and smoke our cigarettes, I always do the last 5 minutes as dead time. And I'll call out on the radio and say dead time. And everybody in the entire building goes silent. And we just listen to the building, right, and different things that might be going on in that building.
Yeah.
Yeah, I usually don't. Like, a lot of times people will go at the location and review their evidence on their digital recorder. I rarely ever do that, and only reason why is because I want to be able to sit down and upload all my audio onto my laptop and then tune everything else out and concentrate on the audio itself.
Yeah, do a focused review.
And I will go over, like, every 5 to 10 seconds of an audio clip 3 or 4 times. If I can't clear up something, clean up, pull out something, or whatever the case may be. It depends on what layer the EVP is lying on. I will trash it and move on to the next 5 to 10 seconds. So one night of EVP work will take me about a week and a half to go through one night.
Yeah. Yeah, when it comes to EVPs with us, my team, we're very selective. Since I have such a large team, I have a lot of people that I'll pass an EVP through, and we'll all listen. And collectively, if we think it's quality, then we'll put it out there. But we're not a big fan of trying to clean up something. You know, I might do some noise reduction on it. I might amp it up a little bit. But if I have to slow it down or speed it up and all that other stuff that you can do or change the pitch on it, I normally just say, well, if I'm having to do all this, then I'm not going to put it out there. I want, you know, the ones I like are the ones that you don't even have to touch. They're that loud, you know?
Yeah, those are Class A's, and those are nice. Those are really nice to capture. But a lot of the times people don't realize that they have captured Class C and Class D EVPs.
Yeah.
And most of the time, if you know how to work software for audio, it's good to practice on and getting down to those lower layers. Because Steve and I have actually caught 2-minute conversations of residual EVPs going on, you know, and it's we think, okay, our mind might be matrixing and all that other hoorah that people talk about. So we will mark it as what we think it is. And we'll put it down, and we'll come back to it about a half an hour later. And if we still hear what we think we hear, we're gonna send it to somebody who is, top of the line. He is the bottom. His name is Mike Markowitz.
Well, we get a lot of people that come to us.
Yeah.
For EVPs, you know, they say, hey, what do you make of this? And they'll send it to us, and then we'll listen, and we'll do what we do to it. And a lot of times, when we get stuck, when we think we have something, we send it over to Mike Markowitz, EVP Mike. And so he's kind of like our go-to guy. And we've got, like, a lot of people that come to us, which is funny. It's good to have friends that, you know, you can work with in this field that also specialize in the same things that you specialize in. It's nice to have those types of people.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, I mean, sometimes even with the naked ear, you might hear something at 78 speed, or it sounds like it's at 78 speed. And then you listen to it on the recorder, and you're like, whoa, what is that? And sometimes spirits don't always operate at the same frequency.
And
sometimes you might hear like a crack of electricity on your audio evidence, like, or a branch
snapping underneath your feet. That's what you would think it was. But if you slow it down, nine times out of ten, the branch that you think that you stepped on and snapped underneath your foot is an actual EVP, and it's about 5 seconds long. But in our time, we hear it as just a crack. It's real quick, real fast.
Yeah, a lot of people do describe it as like a crack of electricity.
Yeah, we don't get me wrong. We slow them down and do all that. I just like to put the best ones out there that are not manipulated so that people, you know, because you get under fire and critique. So I just try to keep all those from putting out there because, you know, then they'll be like, well, you manipulated this and that. And I'm like, no, this is what it is.
Here's the thing, when people say, you know, well, you manipulated the audio, ask them, you know, if they ever listen to a seriously fast recording of something, could you make it out? Could you understand what it says? No. So does that mean you have to throw it out because you can't make out what it's saying? Obviously not. So you would turn it down a speed so you could understand it a little bit better. It doesn't mean that you're manipulating.
Well, and I also
make it more audible.
I also think the more seasoned investigators that have been doing EVP work for a long time
know about
slowing down. They understand the process and why you did something, why you slowed something down, why maybe you added some volume gain or, you know what I mean, to a certain section. Because a whisper, if you've got someone asking a loud question and then a whisper comes across, well, guess what? You need to increase the gain on that whisper in order for it to be heard.
You got
to
clean
it up
so that you can hear it. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's like listening to a record. Would you listen to a record if it was on fast forward or fast speed? No. You would want to know. They're going to clean it up. They're going to put it out there.
But
you are an acid.
Black Sabbath at 78 speed.
Well, that, and just like you said, Stephen, you know, spirits may not operate on the same frequency, and a lot of times they seem to speak faster than the way we speak. And you do have to slow them down in order to make out what they're saying. And so that, you know, that's a good thing. Have y'all noticed when you do find an EVP, have you noticed that there's a pattern of you get like a crack or a pop in the recording right before an EVP happens?
Yeah, that's what we were actually talking about, where you might hear like a sound. It almost sounds like an electrical snap or something like that.
Yeah.
It's very common.
Very common. It's like, to me, it's how, when the spirit wants to communicate with you, it's how it breaks into our sound barrier for you to understand it, for you to hear it. And, like, you cannot hear at that close range. You cannot hear at that certain, was it megahertz? Or
it's the opening of the wormhole.
Yes. There you go.
You know, I get a weird buzzing. I pick up a buzzing noise sometimes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, when I have my ears in,
yeah, so anybody who tells you that, oh, well, you know, you should never slow down EVP, I've slowed them down to, now I won't go past 72 speed because anything after or earlier than that will sound like alien noises coming from an alien spaceship.
Like alien.
So you really don't want to go below 72 speed. It's not understandable. You can't really, you know, make heads or tails of it, and it just makes your audio sound like crap.
Well, and I don't know how many people do spectral analyzation either. Some of the software that we use allows us to look at the spectral analyzation of the, you know, the voice patterns.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see where it falls at the decibel level. And you're okay, well, that's way too low to be a human voice.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So
that brings me to one of the reasons why I asked you guys to come on to the show tonight, because I've been getting Michael coming through and talking to me, and I just came across one that kind of sounded like the first one I got at a different location, and I sent you three locations that I got Michael at, and you guys did your work on it.
Yep.
Yes, we did.
And actually, the last one, I ran it through the spectral analyzation, and I was looking at it, and it was very low. So it's like, you know, it's not a human voice.
Yeah.
It's not
so
the
same what
level
do you think of all of
mine or yours would be? What was that?
So what do you think of all three of them at different locations? Like, what do you think, what was your, what did you come up with?
I think you got something attached or following you around.
Yep.
What did I tell you before, Jared? Didn't I tell you that? I told you that the spirit has been following you around.
And I don't know how you've been feeling, you know, personally, whether you've been feeling drained, emotional, maybe, you know, feeling like some of the emotions aren't yours, or if you've lashed out at people when you don't really mean to lash out, or maybe low tolerance for bullshit.
how could I not be like that? Come on. You know what I mean? Let's look at
lower tolerance than you usually have, you know?
I don't feel like, you know, personality wise, like anything's ever like possessed me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
if I've bitched somebody out, they probably had a damn good reason for it. You know, or if I walked away from somebody, it's for the best. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No drama. No drama for me. But if I bitch somebody out, it's for a damn good reason. But I do not feel that I have ever had anything take me over, you know?
Yeah.
And if there's something with me, I live in a haunted house. I mean, I've been surrounded by spirits for... almost 14 years.
Yeah. It just does seem like, you know, at these different locations, you're getting the same name with the same sounding voice coming across. It just seems like there's something following you.
Yeah, we even actually talked a lot of him of Michael.
Good or bad, I mean, you know, we don't know what it is, but...
Exactly.
It seems to be the same thing. You know, and all
but
these
you
different
did get
locations.
A last name on one of them, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, I forget what it was. I know I sent it to you, though.
Yeah.
Hmm.
We try looking up everything, too. That's another thing. Like, people, you know, any newbies out there or people doing investigations, do your research. You know, one of the things we did when Jody sent us some of this EVP work was we started looking up the United States Census, trying to find, you know, this person with this name. And, you know, these are things that you do when you're investigating. You know, it's not just about showing up and running a recorder. It's about looking at the history of the place. It's about, you know, researching and finding out as much information. And I know some people like to go in blind and see what they come out with, which is fine. But when you come out, do the research and see how it coincides with what you found.
Yeah, we do our research. I have a girl on my team that is in charge of all the research of the location. But I have a guy on my team that's got a sixth sense, and he can see, feel the whole nine yards when it comes to spirits, and he always goes in cold because he doesn't want to know anything about the location, because when he does his read, you know, we have all the hardcore facts about the location documented, so we can correlate what he does with his gift with what we've come up with on the research. So it really does help to do the research, like you said.
Yeah. I see David was asking about the, he put in the chat room 40 to 50 hertz. The EVP that I ran through the analyzation for Jody, it was coming in right about 41, 42, 43 hertz. So it was low. Not a human voice.
Right.
Yeah, that's it. Michael, whatever.
Yeah, Staskus.
Yeah, Michael Staskus.
Like that,
yeah, I'm looking it up right now. And I'm actually, I told the guy at Farrar, because that's where we got the last name, I told him I would send him the name and he could look it up, because while I was there, okay, I was just going through some recent footage, and I came across some footage of Seth, and he was talking about a little boy that haunts the place, and his name is Michael. And I kept getting a woman there calling. I'm also getting a woman calling Mike. Mike. Mike.
Huh.
Yeah. She calls him Mike. Mike.
Now,
it's a woman.
My question to you, Jody, is the other locations that you got the name, were these captured after you were at Farrar or before?
Okay, the first Michael that I ever came across. Now, I could have come across him before, and I just didn't, like, catch it or something like that, or didn't start putting in the pieces together. But it was at Linda Vista. And then I went to Octagon Hall, and Keith from Night Stalkers was sitting next to me, and Michael came through, and he goes, Michael, and I didn't, like, really put it together, and I didn't really put it together until Farrar when I was there, and it was just like Michael wouldn't shut up. He was, like, talking to me so much, and that night, a lot of people came through. It said Hauser's name, like as in Johnny Hauser, which I'm connected to him at the Sally House. And then it kept talking about John Tinney. Kept saying, Tinney, Tinney. And so then I was like, do you have a message for John? You know, and it said wife. So I made him a little video and said, your wife is looking for you.
Oh,
and then I was joking. Some girl was, like, flirting with him online, and I was like, oh, my God, I think we found your wife, John. but I don't know, Michael. But then I went to a cemetery and did a photo shoot, and then Michael was talking to me at the photo shoot through the ghost box, and it sounded like the same as the other two. Mm-hmm. And then out of nowhere, I came up with another one that I happened to come across that I hadn't gone through the footage yet, and then I sent it to you. So, I mean, really, is there like four that are lining up?
Yeah, it's very strange. Let me ask you this. Is there any object or piece of jewelry or something that you have with you at all of these locations?
That's a good question.
Nope. I sometimes don't wear any jewelry, and I kind of switch them up.
Yeah.
And they're nothing that anybody, like, gave to me. I, like, bought them, you know,
yeah,
at stores firsthand, you know. Yeah, no, there's nothing like that.
Another thing that you could think about, Jody, I mean, it's a possibility, is if you had the same pieces of equipment at all the locations, sometimes these spirits can attach themselves to your equipment, you know?
Right, like my ghost box is, like, open to the gates of hell.
Direct
So maybe it's not me. But you know what? I would like to find the answers. Like, you know, so next investigation, I think that, you know, I'm really going to try and communicate with Michael and find out who he is. And, like, you know, somebody said to ask questions like, how long has he been with me? Has he been with me since I've been a kid? Because if he's been with
me
since I was a kid. Yeah, you did. That's right. Okay, yeah, that was you. Yep. I
you know, can think about everything. But, yeah, you told me to ask it questions like that to find out if it's possibly an angel.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you picked up the spirit at Linda Vista, then, you know, you're going to have to do some serious digging. You have to go through the guests, the people that were patients, the people that had family come there, the workers, the doctors, the nurses, the orphans.
Yeah, you'll never
get it. It, you know what I mean? It's way too much.
But if it was before that.
Yeah.
You know what
there are ways to track them down.
Narrow it down.
You know, you could look at obits from that hospital. You could look at obits from that area, obituaries from that area, see if anybody matches that name.
David wants to know if we like all orbs.
I like your orbs.
I like Riley's orbs.
You want to play up my snow orbs?
Snow globes. No.
Sorry, we have to make our own fun up here in New England.
I'm sorry. I was sending a message to the guy that runs Linda Vista and asking him if that name means anything to Linda Vista. So we'll see what these guys have to say, because Rich actually told me, who runs, you know, helps run Linda Vista. I called him up and told him I got a really good EVP of Michael there, and he said that he's gotten Michael there before.
Huh.
Well, your Michael and his Michael might not be the same Michael.
They might be.
I know. And you know what? Linda Vista was the first time that I ever got, like, a reply to what's your name, and it said Michael. And that place, like, I'm not going to go as far as say, like, I think there's anything demonic there, but I think that while it was operating, there were just such bad people coming in there and dying. There are some nasty spirits there. Nasty. Scum of the earth and spirits.
Do you guys ever feel or sometimes feel that some of the spirits, like they, I don't know if their attitude gets magnified after they pass away?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, I mean, so many EVPs are just so terrible with vulgarities and all this stuff. It's like, really? Are you people really that bad? You know what I mean? Like, sometimes I question whether whether it gets magnified or, you know, if that's really how these people were or.
Well, I can play you something. We played it on the show before of an EVP that we captured. And like I said, this was during setup. And this guy, he wasn't pissy or aggressive or any of that. This man was basically fucking with us through EVPs, and he was joking the whole time. He would insult us. He would make jokes about different things. And this one right here, I'm talking to my dad, and my dad ends up saying, oh, and then right after the oh, you'll get to this EVP. And it's real funny.
You got 30 there. Oh.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, Dad said, oh, and then the spirit chimed in and said, shit.
Yeah, I know. I caught that.
Yeah.
Could you play the other one for them, the one that I really to play for people?
Yeah, this.
Listen very carefully.
I uploaded this because paranormal teams, we always put out our evidence, but sometimes we don't put out some of the other stuff that's captured on our recorders while they're running. And this is one of those moments for us.
Okay, that was my decision, though. Did you fart?
Do you need to hear that again? And listen to what he says afterwards. It's really important.
Yeah, this is Mike, my investigator, my psychic medium, and then I make a comment after it happens.
Okay, that was hard. You might just shit himself.
I think he just shit himself.
Yeah. You better check your pants.
He got skin marks from that.
Yeah, and there, here's one where I actually was laughing so hard. We were up in the attic of this old house, and I was sitting in a chair filming the other two guys, and they were sitting on a couch. This attic is so big, you can walk around, and it's just like a separate floor. And, yeah, this is crazy here. You just start laughing.
Hard to hear over
this
cell phone.
Well, what happened was one of the guys said, FYI, guys, my bad. And Mike said, what did you do? Did you shit yourself? You laugh, you shit yourself? And he said, no, when I laugh, I fart myself. And then I was like, dude, there's no windows up here in the attic. And then I start laughing, and you can hear on the audio, I farted because I was laughing so hard.
Oh, my God.
And that's during an investigation. Now, this is why we were up there, because 30 minutes in the investigation, we stuck an EVP recorder up in this attic. Now, there's nobody up there. It's on the third floor. We're all down on the first floor. And, Riley, you were talking about how you caught some EVPs of residual energy having a conversation. Well, here's one of them, right? Oh, wait a minute.
I did it again.
Oh, that's another one. That was something. All right, here we go. I played the wrong EVP. Here, this is up in the air.
It sounds like an old woman.
Yeah, it's a little boy and his mom, and he calls her Taddy, which was the original owner's wife, and the little boy was Alan Bonner that lived there, and he goes, Taddy, and she said, yeah, I have a cookie. And I'll play it one more time.
Wow, yeah, cool.
Yeah, I heard Caddy, and then I heard the old one go, yeah.
Yeah.
I have a cookie or something.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
That's awesome. That was an awesome capture. It really was.
Oh, yeah. And then we actually got the same woman's voice later on. I'll play this one. You want to play? Yeah, there it is.
Is there any children here that would like to come out and play?
That was the same lady's voice calling for her daughter, Liddell. And you hear her plain as day say, Liddell. And it's the exact same lady. And I always love when you can capture, you know, the same voice, and it all correlates with the history of the home. So... y'all have one more.
Or the person.
Yeah. Y'all have one more EVP that we haven't played. Let me get to it here. This one is
Well, got to get back to it. Oh, here we go. It says Mama.
Is that the Screaming Child one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Steve, Ryan and I were in Slater Mill, and remember how I told you I brought him into the mill area to change up the dynamics of the whole entire place, and which it did. And we were hunting with Joe Chin from GHI when I turned around because I heard a child scream. And when I went to go take a step forward, it felt like I almost walked into a wall. That's where I captured the first EVP of the child screaming. And within that five-second clip, now you're going to play it, and there's like 5 seconds or maybe 3 seconds of it, and there's like four different EVPs that you're going to pick out. Four different residual EVPs within that time.
I don't know if they'll pick them out, but there's a lot of stuff happening in it.
And then you got the I Know You're Here came right after that.
But there's a child screaming for its mother. There's a dog barking. There's a bunch of stuff happening, and it's all in the same EVP.
A child singing in the beginning, and then a child screaming, then a dog barking, and you'll hear another EVP that's very hard to make out. We don't know what it is yet.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
None of which could be heard by the naked ear, by the way.
No,
wow.
I did hear that the child scream one. I did hear that, but it wasn't where I was like, oh, shit, you know what I mean? It was like, It was just something that you heard real quick coming out that side somewhere, and you turned to look, but you know obviously know nothing's there.
It wasn't like that.
It wasn't like that though. No.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Let me talk one more time here.
Now.
That's a pretty good scream.
Yeah, when you play that at regular speed, it sounds like electricity crackling. It doesn't even sound like an EVP at all. That is slowed down to 72%.
Wow.
Because if I didn't do it that way, you wouldn't have been able to get all that. You would just hear it, and that's it. It's all you hear.
Now, do you guys ever play, like, some people, they like to reverse their
EVPs? Yeah, I've done that. I've actually, you know, I thought at first, okay, well, when I started doing audio, I'm like, you know what, that's bullshit. You don't play something forward and backward and hear different things, you know what I mean? So I tried it a couple of different locations just to see if it would actually work. And a couple of times, I caught the same EVP that was being played forward, being played backwards. Same EVP. Played the same way. You could play it forward, then you could understand it. You play it backwards, and you could understand it. It was weird. It was really weird. Sometimes it works. I mean, it does not apply. Like, 70% of the time, you know, you're not going to think of doing it like that. Yeah, 70% of the time.
100% of the time, I don't think about it.
That's because you don't get involved unless I get you the really good ones, and then you get involved.
Yeah.
Because we argue a lot over audio.
That's the process. Riley goes through them first, and when she thinks she's got something, she hands it over to me, and then I either debunk it or I try to pick it apart and pass it back to her, and then she, you know, we do argue back and forth about a lot of the EVPs. It's funny, actually.
It's
he,
all good,
I was playing
though,
something,
you know?
And he would be like, I don't hear it. And I would be like, how the fuck can you not hear it? Here, listen to this shit again. And I'd make him listen to it like 10 times.
Yeah.
And this is when we got to get a third party to come in and separate us, because it's like I'm ready to kill.
We're having a dispute.
It's like, how could you not hear that?
Hear what?
He'd hand it back to me and go, yeah, I can't hear that. I'm like, what? Are you broken? What is the matter with you?
Now,
David wanted to know what your favorite EMF is.
Our favorite EMF?
Mm-hmm. That's what it says.
As far as equipment?
The device?
Yes.
We have a Mel meter.
We have a Mel meter.
We have a Mel meter that we use. And
it has, like, a bunch of different things.
It does so many different things. It does temperature. It does proximity. You know what I mean? It's got...
It's got
the light,
temperature reading.
The bells, it's got everything on it. It's got a K2.
It does a lot of different things. So we usually just roll with that because carrying the EMF meter, plus your digital audio recorder, your K2 and all that crap, after a while, you forget where you place shit. So you just, you don't want to carry a lot of equipment when you go on a location because you're always constantly moving. Now, if you have a base station and you set up your base station and you could go back and check back and forth, then bringing a lot of equipment is okay because you can always leave it at the base station. But if you're going to go on these long, big adventures of, you know, investigations where you're looking at, like, five levels of an asylum, you know, that has from here to 3 miles away a building, you don't want to carry all this equipment with you.
Yeah, a lot of times we don't
right.
end up going back to the place that we started in. You know, we end up somewhere else.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I built it's made out of Velcro and some material. I actually sewed it together, and it actually straps on my forearm, and it's got a little pocket, and I slip my recorder, my digital recorder in there so that I don't have to hold it while I'm investigating. I just have it on my arm. And it works out great because it doesn't, I got it secured where it doesn't rub or move, so you don't get any of that movement noise if you had it like in a pocket or something. So, because even
very
though I'm
nice.
Even though I'm the founder of the group, I'm also the 95% of the equipment I own. So I have, like, pockets everywhere. I have, like, a Navy SEAL or whatever Army jacket thing that's got 10,000 pockets in it. And I put all the spare batteries and tapes. And so I'm like a walking equipment bag at an investigation.
I got me just a backpack.
Yeah, I don't like carrying anything at all. I make Steve be the mule.
Yeah.
That's why I like the point of view. That's why I like the point of view glasses.
Have y'all done any kind of experimenting with the old school cassette tape recorder?
Yeah, actually some of the first EVPs we ever captured was that type of device. I mean,
nice. Yeah, we picked up a few of those, and we're going to start using those along with the digital because they've come out with a device now that you can hook. There's a way to hook your cassette tape recorder up to your computer, and it'll convert all the audio from that tape to MP3 files. So
right.
Yeah, we were like, well, now we can go back and do some experimentation with the old analog cassette tape. So,
well, that's going to be fun for y'all.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Have y'all noticed when y'all are doing investigations and whatnot, because I always ask this to anybody I interview on the radio just to kind of get their take on this. When y'all are doing your EVP sessions, do you notice that a lot of the times that you'll get EVPs more often when you're not asking questions, you're just maybe talking amongst yourself or just having a generalized conversation, and they just seem to want to chime in?
Yeah, that happens all the time.
Yeah.
People don't even realize it. You don't, I mean, we do, you know, take time out to have quiet time specifically, but one of the reasons why we run the recorder and the, I mean, we certainly start the video glasses, which do audio as well, but we start one of the recorders as soon as we arrive because it's just, you're capturing stuff. I mean, within seconds of entering a place, you can capture stuff. Mm-hmm. And it happens more often than people realize.
Yeah, and
I've noticed that, you know, especially when you're dealing with spirits that were humans at one point. Just like in real life, if a group of people are around you and they're having a conversation, at some point you're going to want to try to chime in on the conversation. I mean, that's the way we are as humans. And it seems like it's the same way in the spirit world, where if they want to get involved in the conversation, they're going to get involved. And it also seems like when there's a lot of sound going on during an investigation, whether we're talking or doing whatever, when we create those sound waves, it's almost like that's their opportunity, their fuel to latch onto those sound waves and leave their imprint of their EVP on there.
Absolutely.
And then it goes silent.
What?
Yeah.
What?
No, everybody got quiet.
No, I'm
no, we agree 100%. I mean, people, you know, I think this shit is happening around us all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, no matter where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I think, you know, people don't realize it, that these spirits or energies or whatever you want to call them, they're around us constantly.
See, I feel that we're not waiting for them to interrupt one of our conversations. We're actually interrupting a conversation that they have because they were in the past and we're in the, you know what I mean? It's kind of messed up, but, you know, they are already having their conversation over and over and over again. That's why it's residual. We just came along later on and started having our own. So you'll hear, like, yes or no's being answered when you ask a question of someone else who's living. So if I ask Stephen a question, and before he has a chance to answer it, the spirit will answer it for him. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it goes both ways with,
yeah. Totally
with that
agree.
Kind of thing. I love, like I said, turning on the recorder as soon as you walk onto a location, because you never know where you're going to catch an EVP. Even if you think, oh, well, all this shit's contaminated, before you throw it out, really go through everything, like with a fine-tooth comb. It's best if you don't have any noise that you just pick it out. But if you have to, you have to do it. You know, suck it up. You can get your best EVPs when everybody's talking and you could actually block out all that noise and concentrate on the lower levels where you could pull some really good EVPs out of.
Yeah.
We actually caught a pretty unique EVP in the Sylvanus Brown house, which is, what, 1600s, late 1600s, early 1700s? And it's this tiny little house, and there were 18 people living there.
Wow.
Was it four couples or two couples and 16 children or something? And,
yeah,
and
something like that. It was pretty crazy with all the, it was a very teeny tiny house. But
we were sitting in the kitchen area talking, and we were just talking amongst ourselves, not asking any questions. We were just having a conversation about something completely irrelevant, and it was, the EVP was funny, actually. We were sharing it at an event. A lot of people were getting a lot of laughs out of it. It was a couple having sex.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a woman having an orgasm, and we captured it on the point of view glasses through the audio, and it was so funny. I mean,
if you have that out on the internet as like ghosts have sex too.
Yeah.
No, we didn't put that one out there on like Facebook or anything like that.
Why?
It was
Pear Hunters. Nice.
I'm hoping it was residual. No.
I mean, that, like, that needs to be, like, talked about and heard.
We got a lot of laughs. I mean, we were passing the headphones around at this event, and everyone was cracking up because it's blatant. It's
we
like,
don't
oh
tell
God.
Them what they're listening to. We just tell them they're listening to an EVP, but, you know, we say, you tell us what you think it is. And
yeah.
Then within, like, 2 seconds after they hear it, they start smiling. Because they know what it is,
yeah.
Right? So we
yeah.
We need to explain further.
Well, we would love it if you would pass it on to us so that we could play it on our show for everyone.
Yeah, without a doubt, we'll send it to you this week, in the next few days.
Thank you so much, Kevin.
we were at a location in Dallas, and a lot of teams go there, and in one of the rooms, the owner calls it the sex room because back in the day when Prohibition was going on, this house was used as a lady of the night place, a place of brothel, you know, to go to. And a lot of teams had been there and gotten, you know, sex-type EVPs in this room, so they nicknamed the room the sex room. Well, we were in the sex room, and we got an EVP of a bunch of whips. Like somebody was getting whipped with right up your alley, Jody.
Right on. Right?
Somebody was getting
Take
her
that
kicked.
Ass. Mm-hmm. I think it's great getting tied up, especially at haunted locations. I mean, let's tie a bitch up, you know? Tie me up. I'm all good.
I'll remember that, Jody, if you and I ever go on an investigation together. If you don't come here, everybody will know what happened to your ass.
Hey, you know what? I won't mind. Like, you could leave me there for hours. I'd just sit there and talk to it. And if it hit me
like,
up upside the head, I'd be like, that shit better be on film.
or telling the spirits to come eat this.
Exactly. Do you want a blowjob? I can't believe it actually asked for one. Like, that was crazy.
Wow.
The sports the blow job, or whatever it said. Sports the blow job. Like, that is not going to be said on AM radio. I'm sorry, but.
No, they wouldn't say that.
No, they would. Like I said, not every time, you know, comes through with something off the radio. Do you know what I mean?
It's
just a lot of times it does, but
I picked up a lot of stuff off the radio, you know, like I noticed that during my investigation, because I scan AM radio, George Norrie and Coast to Coast come through a lot. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it was George Norrie who heard you on his side and wanted the blowjob. Nothing like that.
Maybe so. There you go.
You never know.
Well, you can get one from me.
Well, I've never talked to the guy. I don't even know who he is. I don't listen to his show, so I always like to
He would never life. Say something like that. Never. Nope.
Well, we're down to the last 6 minutes of the show. Do y'all have anything that y'all would like to plug or events coming up that y'all are going to be at? While you can hear
Let's see. This Friday, tune in to Club Hair on Dead Air Blog Talk Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are going to be having Ken DeCosta from Rise Up Paranormal. He's going to be joining us again. Also, Van Pacino.
Pacheco,
that's the guy's name. From NEPR is going to be there. John Brightman just told me that he is going to be MIA due to an investigation, but we got Vinny coming on, so look out, ladies, with that big old handlebar mustache he's got going on. And let's see, what else we got going on?
Tomorrow night, we're going to be at the Coventry Library in Coventry, Rhode Island, with the TAPS home team. They're putting on a little show for the teens.
Teens and tweens.
Paranormal 101. So we're going to be there with those guys.
Supported.
And supporting them, yeah, definitely, without a doubt. But pretty much we are inside, indoors, during the winter season here in New England because it's just too damn cold to be out there investigating.
It did snow here today.
Yeah, I'm in long johns.
Wow.
Just so you know. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I don't care. I wear long johns. I would wear long johns and have the back that opened up if I could ever find a pair.
I'm going to take a photo and post it on Facebook.
I love long johns. I have a pink pair.
I have on a pair of white right now, white pair of long johns.
Yeah, mine
are
so empty.
They're cute. I wear mine underneath my sweatpants because I freeze my ass off here in New England.
Yeah, I could only imagine.
You, Joey, you've been in New York, so you know how cold it gets, but you've never been up farther than that, right?
Heck no. I hate going up there. I'm sorry. But
yeah,
it's cold.
No, they're not
fall.
All fun and games.
Like, I would come in like May, June, July, you know?
Yeah, it's not so bad.
Yeah, then it's
yeah.
Not, it's pretty much, we go surfing every day because we live like 5 minutes from the water, so we're always out there surfing.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right, your website? I don't think you mentioned your website.
Well, we've got two. We've got, if you want to check us out, go to www.blackcrossparanormal.com. If you want to check out who we're going to have on Club Para, go to www.clubpara.com.
Okay.
And
you guys sell, don't you guys sell equipment like those? Do you guys sell stuff?
Yeah,
the point of view glasses. The full spectrum, there's different versions. There's full spectrum, there's regular light, there's standard definition, and there's high definition.
And you're not going to find them anywhere cheaper, ever. Yeah.
We
are the cheapest that you'll find them at.
Well, actually, we're the only ones selling them. It's us and Para Hunter. We're doing them together. Both teams, we do them together. But you can go on our website, blackcrossparanormal.com, click on store, and that'll bring you to all the information regarding them. There's an FAQ page. There's all types of information there about the glasses. They are by far one of my most favorite pieces of equipment.
Yeah, so get them for your ghost investigator for
Christmas
list.
Yeah,
get them for your Christmas list, people, for your paranormal investigator. Also, we do offer 100% money-back guarantee within a certain limit time, though, once you receive them. All the information is on the website. Go check it out. If anything should happen to them within a certain amount of time, we will refund your money.
Sweet. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on.
Thanks
really appreciate it. And I appreciate you looking at my Michael. And
long rips for everybody.
What?
Bong rips for everybody.
The bong?
Oh,
yeah.
Bong rips,
yeah.
Jody. Bong.
You're yelling it.
It does,
yeah.
Doesn't it?
Burn it up.
Yeah, I'm cut off.
Burn it up, Evan.
It's
hilarious.
Good night, y'all. Have a great
night. All right, good night. That kind of came out of nowhere. I was like, huh? No?
Yeah.
What? What?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Well, see, Kevin, I don't even think we have a guest for next week. You know that?
Yeah, we'll have to get on that. We got a week to get it done. You and I can pull it off.
Yeah, we need to get our stuff together, Kevin. We're not with the program, okay?
Yeah, I have to get back on the search and start getting my stuff. I'm already on my show. I've already almost booked January, so I need to get on, quit slacking over on this end and get going.
Yep.
be sure to tune in. Tomorrow is Full Spectrum Radio, and then Thursday is Ghost Hunting Texas Style. And on our show Sunday, Unknown Paranormal Radio, we will have Miss Rosalind Brown on our show. And stay tuned. We will be adding a new show to the network. I believe I've talked to Jennifer. It'll probably be starting second week in January. On Friday nights, we will have The Dark Side of the Paranormal with Jennifer Auld and Cass Starr. So something to look forward to in 2013. And stay tuned to you can find me and Jody on her Facebook page, Jody Parks, and you can find me on the Unknown Paranormal's Facebook, which is under the name Spirit Casper. And you can also go like our page, Terrify Radio, and we always Jody and I post things on there when we have guests and whatnot. So check us out there. And I believe that's it. So great show.
Well, good
tonight.
Night.
Yeah, great night, and stay warm. I'm trying to stay warm down here in Texas. It's cold down here, finally, after months of 100-degree heat. So anyway, have a great night, everybody.
Good night.